Welcome to another episode of Jackson's American Tales, ordinary people with extraordinary life stories. We are continuing with semi-pro football player, semi-pro musician, fully pro firefighter, BJ Breacher. When we left off, he was in his 30s and just wasn't happy with where his life was going. Had done the football thing, had done the band thing, was looking for something a little bit more, and started getting interested into the firefighting thing. We're really going to get into some of the ins and outs of being a first responder and what it takes to stay in shape and be able to help people. Enjoy this episode of Jackson's American Tales, BJ Breacher, Part 2.
And I'm like, you know, if I wasn't doing this, what would I be doing? And I'm like, well, I can't say music because I do music, and that's what I'm doing right now. But what else would I be doing? And I'm like, well, I suppose it'd probably be something like firefighting and something with the Department of Natural Resources. Yeah, and I just kind of went back to doing what I do. Well, lo and behold, 6 months later, I showed up for work, and I got the email. Hey, could you meet down in room 1 at 3 p.m. today?
That's not a good sign.
No.
I don't like any emails where I have to go to somebody's office.
Yeah, at the end of the day. Yeah. And
hate those.
We all know what that email is. And I'm like, whoa. Okay.
This is on a Friday, too?
It was not on Friday. I believe it was coming back off of Christmas vacation. So it was Tuesday evening. And I'm like, it's nothing. You know, whatever, man. I'm doing a nice job here. I'm working hard. I show up. I do my thing. I get along with everybody. Ugh. Well, I got in there and I had the meeting. They're like, well, you know, your production is not what we want. And we've talked to you about this before. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You know, whatever. Just do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got my box of things and I walked out of the.
Did security escort you out?
I had a supervisor walk me out.
I've always wanted to be escorted out of somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like when they fire me here, I'll be escorted out.
Yeah, exactly. So I walk out with my box of things, and I'm like, I walked over to the parking ramp, and I got in. I sat there for a second, and I'm like, I got on my phone. I called my girlfriend, and I'm like, hey.
How old were you this time?
This time, I was probably 34.
Okay, so this isn't no messing around. This isn't like you're 20 years old.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You're a full-grown adult.
Right, exactly. You know, I was doing, in my opinion, and it's not opinion, I was doing well. I had worked there for about 3 years, and I'm like, you know what? I need to move on to another challenge. I moved into a different department, tried to get a supervisor position. Was I ironically told not to go after it?
Okay,
whatever.
All right.
Okay, somebody knows something, whatever. Went and did something else. It didn't work out.
Don't go after that. We're going to fire you soon.
Yeah. So I got in. I call my girlfriend. I'm like, hey. She's like, hey, what's up? I go, I lost my job today. And she's like, what? I'm like, yep, I lost my job. And, you know, we talked a little bit. And she's like, what are you going to do now? And I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take a day or two, and I'm going to think.
Mm-hmm.
So got home and, you know, plopped down on the couch and, you know, watched TV or whatever, and got up the next morning in my pajamas and made the good coffee that day because I wanted to do everything right, and sat down at the computer and remember that conversation I had. And keep in mind, I'm still doing the music thing at this time.
Okay.
So I get on there and I knew that Fox Valley Technical College had a very strong fire service program, and I also knew that they had a very strong natural resources program.
Okay.
It's just down the highway. And so I jumped on there and I did a search, and boom, wildland firefighter. Okay.
Really?
So I click on it, I get into it. Well, class is starting next week. What's the tuition? Huh. Ironically, the tuition equals the amount of my vacation pay that's cashed out to me.
Oh.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Invest in yourself, because and do it for the right reasons and do it the right way and do it with every effort, because things will happen.
Now I'm gonna stop you real quick here. Now you're like I've said before, you're a physically fit guy. Looks like you take pretty good care of yourself, and I'm guessing you were at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you were 34, and that ain't no spring chicken.
No.
And firefighting ain't exactly an old man's game. No. That's a young, and you know, 34 doesn't seem that old. Mm-mm. But when you're getting into those kind of jobs, 34 has got to get some years on them legs, especially what you did. You played, you know, college football, very hard on your body. You played a year of arena league, very hard on your body. Were you worried at all that you wouldn't be able to physically do the job?
Part of me was like, but the other part of me is like, you know, I always like a good challenge, especially a physical one. It was nervous. I mean, if you've ever gone back to school, you know, I mean, let alone lose your job at that age.
Yeah. I mean, that's a, you know, and also, you know, if someone, you know, isn't thinking much about this, there's my dad told me a one time when I was, you know, I was about 10 years or so ago, and I was kind of going through a crossroads of my life a little bit. I didn't have as many options as you have because I'm me. But he told me, you don't get second chances anymore. Back when my dad was younger in the 60s and 70s, you did. You not only said you had third and fourth and fifth chances, and you could go get a job in a factory and knock out a mortgage payment without a problem. But these are the kind of things that just aren't really happening as much at this time in our economy and the world that we're living in. So that is a pretty serious, you know, life-altering event to have.
You better believe it. I mean, I was getting unemployment. And there was a lot of talk at that time about, well, we don't know how much longer unemployment's going to be, and you've only got so much. And I was ready to take anything at that time. The unfortunate thing, though, is everybody wants you to have experience, but they don't want to give you experience. This guy's got 2 college degrees, and he's got experience. I suppose he's going to demand top dollar. No, just give me $1. I got bills to pay.
Give me an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really scary time for me. I mean, I'm still paying out my student loans. I had a really nice duplex that I really liked, and was still doing the music thing. And like I said before, we weren't necessarily making money, but we were breaking even. So I had that hobby. And of course, being me, I didn't want to be the cliche guy. Oh, he's a musician, so you know. He does that. You know.
Of course, he's not employed.
Yeah, exactly. Which was, you know, a big shot to my ego. It bothered me insanely. In order to keep getting your unemployment benefits, you had to go to these meetings. Mm-hmm. And I left almost in tears sitting in my truck because I'm at this meeting and I'm in there, and I don't mean to categorize, but there are guys in there that I'm like, I'm in here with a suit and tie getting ready to interview, you know, some of these things. And there's guys who don't care.
In their pajamas.
In their pajamas, torn up. They don't care. Yeah. And basically was a schooling saying, okay, this is how you fill out a job application. I'm like, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
Well, this is what a resume looks like. Would you like to see mine? You know, this is what you need to do when you go to a job interview. Yeah, I've got my suit and tie on here. I'm ready to interview right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to a guy who's sitting up in the corner. I don't mean to sound stereotypical, but this guy is sitting there and he's not dressed for anything really.
He ain't dressed for success.
No. Yeah. And they're talking about jobs that are available up there. And this lady is talking about, I'm not kidding you, this underwater welding job up in Sturgeon Bay.
That anyone who knows
Sturgeon? Yes.
That pays good money.
Yes, you bet. If anybody knows, they build ships up in Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
So this guy is over here and he goes, well, I could do that. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Brother, you couldn't even put on shoes with a lace on them.
do you even own snorkeling equipment? I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is just a big kick in the junk to me.
Yeah.
You should not be here. So they get done doing this and I throw my piece of paper down and you have to sign in to make sure you're there. And I walk out. My girlfriend's talking to me on the phone again because she lived down in Broadhead and I'm still up in Green Bay. And she's like, so how'd it go today? I go, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be with these folks. I'm sure they're good folks, but you're told when you're in high school at that time and when you're in college, you're going to get a college education, you're going to get a good job, you're going to make decent money, and everything's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am with 2 college degrees, a bunch of debt, and people that are, I keep getting met with, well, we've got your resume, we'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to do? Now, at that time, I had finished the wildland firefighter course.
Okay.
And my application was out there, but I'm sitting here going, oh, my God.
You're waiting for a call.
Exactly. I'm waiting to do anything. But also, I'm also like working my tail off saying, okay, here's the deal. We got to book shows here for this because I did a lot of the bookings for the band. I'm like, we got to do this and got that. And oh, my gosh, is this going to be some kind of my income to supplement, you know, my unemployment, and we're going to have to claim this. We're going to have to do all this stuff because we did start making money where we had to start, okay, we're going to be on, for lack of a better term, IRS's radar.
Yeah.
These guys are making money now. But it was a really rough spot to be in for me.
You know, I've been in some spots in my life where I've had to collect unemployment, did landscaping, get laid off, in the wintertime. And I never had to go through that part of the unemployment because I always knew I was going back to work.
Yeah.
But one thing that always surprised me when I had some friends that had gone through that is it's difficult. Is like my wife had to, lost her job and was filing unemployment and had to go apply for a certain amount of jobs and all this stuff. Yeah. And how difficult it was for her just to get that $200 check, you know, every week. And I would always say, if the people that are scamming the system and they are there, and if you think not, you're out of your mind. Pajamas guy was scamming the system. He showed up in a way where he looked unemployable because he didn't want anyone to employ him. He's out on the dole. If the people that scammed the system put as much work into getting a job as they do into scamming the system, they wouldn't be on unemployment.
I agree with you.
That's
100%.
Their full-time job. And you're sitting there going, man, all I want to do is go back to work.
Yeah.
And they've got an office for full of people who don't.
Right.
So they got to treat you like one of them.
Exactly.
And you're exactly right. You ain't one of them. That's a different breed of cat to do that kind of stuff. And I know because half my family is one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and straight up say it.
Yeah.
They do exist. Yeah. So when did you get that call to go do the
so
fire?
It's another great story, too. So my girlfriend was visiting for that weekend. And phone rings. This is Mike Folger, Department of Natural Resources. How you doing? Good. How you doing?
Dang. Yeah. Well, look at that.
We got your resume here, and we talked to some guys that you were in the class with, and we have a position for you. Now, it's not a full-time position. I'm like, all right, I'm listening. And he goes, basically, it's an on-call position. So the way that it works is that you've heard of, like, red flag warnings and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, if certain weather conditions warrant that, hey, chances are pretty good that it's dry, things are going to catch on fire, okay? You know, they put this morning out, they go, we'll give you a ring and you come in and work.
Okay.
And at first I'm like, and my girlfriend is sitting across the room on the couch. And, you know, and she's sitting there reading a magazine and you know she wants to say something.
She's turning the magazine
she's
hard.
Like this. And I'm like, I'm kind of looking for something more permanent. She goes, you take that effing job. Honest to God. And I go, hey, you know what? I think I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Change the heart over here. Yeah.
So she goes, okay, well, you know, we need to do an orientation with you. And, you know, we'll get back to you. Great. And she looks at me and she goes, you feel better now? And I go, do you feel better now? And she goes, yes. Fine. So the neat thing about it was the station that I was going to be assigned to was in White Lake, which is probably about 45 minutes away from the family cottage that we had.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, so I could go stay at the cottage, do a little fishing.
Yeah, it's not like a bad life.
Yeah, exactly. And then go to work if they need me and come back. And if I get consecutive days, I just stay at the cottage.
Just do some fishing once
again. Exactly.
Hell yes.
So I worked a couple days and I'm like, you know what? I like this. You know, it's hard work. I'm working in an environment that I like.
What do you mean hard work? What are you doing? I'm guessing you're not toting around hoses and axing down doors.
With that in particular, so you show up in the morning and you get the rig. We had what's called a tender truck. I worked on a heavy unit.
Okay.
So the heavy unit is basically a big tanker truck that pulls this big, huge, gargantuan bulldozer.
Oh.
Okay. So we're talking we're talking heavy duty stuff.
So how long were you doing the wildland firefighting?
I did the wildland thing for 3 years.
Okay.
The first year I did that as an on-call position. The following year, between those 2 years, between my first year and my second year, I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this fire thing.
Yeah.
So I moved down here, and the stars happened to align, which is another good story that I like to tell. I applied for a couple of different technical colleges, fire academies, and I was denied MATC just because they were full.
Yeah.
You know, I was applying at that time, but they're like, you know, we'll put your name into rotation for next semester. Mm. At that time, my girlfriend of a year and I were like, hey, listen, we need to make a decision. We keep driving back and forth here, or, you know, what's going to happen here? And because she had kids and dad was down there and I was up there and really didn't have anything holding me back.
Yeah.
Other than the band, but we wanted to start playing down in Madison anyways. It just kind of made sense.
Okay.
So, and she was working a full-time job. She was working for Chrysler at that time in Rockford.
Yeah.
So she's making plenty of money. So the plan was for me to go to school to be a firefighter and be a stay-at-home stepdad.
Okay.
Went to fire academy, got my basics taken care of, and then applied for a on-call seasonal full-time position for the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
Put my application in. Lo and behold, Mike Folgert calls me back again. Hey, what's going on? Not much. How you doing? Listen, we got your application. Are you interested in that full-time position? And I'm like, yeah, if I wasn't interested, I wouldn't apply.
Yeah.
And he goes, we see you applied for Wisconsin Rapids, too. And I said, yeah, I applied. Well, and there was a position in the Dells you applied for. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, talking to the guys at the White Lake station, they'd like to have you back. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I've got some good references. That's how you build a resume,
yeah.
You know? So I talked to a buddy of mine that lived up in Green Bay, and, you know, and my girlfriend and I talked about it. It wasn't about the pay. It was about building that resume.
The opportunity.
Those skills.
Yes.
So I call a buddy in Green Bay, and he goes, yeah, you know what? Just give me $100 a month, and you can stay with me. And he lived just outside of Green Bay, so I'm driving about 45 minutes to an hour every day to get up to the station,
okay.
Putting in, you know, long days and all that. And I did my time up there, and at that time came back, was a volunteer in Broadhead, just, again, working on my resume.
Yeah.
You know, and realized that, you know, structural firefighting is something that I would like to get into.
Is it a bit more dangerous?
I will say that yes, it is a bit more dangerous for a plethora of reasons. When you're fighting fires, what homes are made out of and what you find in homes today are completely different than they were 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Okay.
Everything nowadays, the couch that you sit on is basically solidified gasoline.
Really?
From a chemical standpoint, they're all petroleum based.
So everything's it's a tinderbox. Everything's waiting to go up.
Yes, yes.
Huh.
We don't have fires nowadays as often as we used to have them 30, 40 years ago. However, when we do have a fire, they're much more dangerous. Kind of going back to the composition of the things that we have in our homes today, there are a lot of cancer-causing agents that we use to make plastics. So, and they're there. They also put a lot of flame retardants on couches and furnitures and things like that, which makes sense. But also, those are also have some things that are not so good for you.
Yeah.
And every now and then, you know, the powers that be come along and say, hey, you guys, we can't be putting this flame retardant stuff on your couch because it's a carcinogen. And the chemists go, okay, hold on one second. And they go and they do their office and they go, okay, this is what we got for you. Okay, thanks. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, hey, guys, remember that new retardant that you put on the couches? Here's what we found.
Carcinogen.
Hold on a second. One moment. And they go off to their office and they get in their beakers and they come back and they go, how about this? All right. You know, it's a vicious cycle. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not done maliciously or anything like that, but it's just the nature of the beast when you're developing things. But
sure.
My point being that these couches give off, these couches, furniture, homes, things you find in homes and even in cars nowadays, when things burn, they turn into a different form.
Mm-hmm.
They go from a solid to a gas. Smoke. And these things, these carcinogens like benzene and formaldehyde and all these other chemicals, they're there as a solid form. But when heat is added to it and become smoke, they basically change threefold. They're more active, they're more volatile, and they're more accessible to a human being.
So hearing all this, you thought, I gotta sign myself up for some of this.
Exactly. I want this. You know, it's not scary enough to be running around in traffic. It's not scary enough to run in a building. I want to bring something home with me. So
this isn't good enough till I've got coal miner's lung.
Exactly.
So you're getting into the structural firefighting, mm-hmm. and then you also do all firefighters get into the EMT side, or what is your? Because I'm gonna get the letters wrong.
You bet.
I don't know anything about any of these acronyms.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you are now a firefighter and what else?
An AEMT.
AEMT.
Yes.
Okay.
For people who aren't aware. We've all heard of paramedics.
Sure.
Medics and all that.
Yeah.
But nationally, there's different levels of licensure when you're a EMT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's the very bottom, not to belittle anything, but there's the very entry level.
Yeah.
Which is the emergency response. It's called an EMR. It used to be called the first responder, but it's an EMR. And then the next level is the EMT.
Okay.
And then the next level from there is the AEMT.
Oh, okay.
And then the next level beyond that is the paramedic. And you can even go farther with, you know, critical care, paramedic, excuse me, in all those things.
So if I hurt myself, mm-hmm. if I hurt myself yep. and I call 911, mm-hmm. I gouged my arm. I got a mm-hmm. big gouge in my arm. Yep. I'm bleeding out. I need yep. someone here. Who's is it a paramedic? Who's coming to my house?
It depends.
Really?
It depends.
If they get there, can I be like, hang on a minute here. Mm-hmm. I heard a story from BJ. You're low on the total. I'm going to need a paramedic for this one.
There are certain departments that demand certain requirements.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and say it. If you live in Madison and Madison Fire comes to your house because you cut yourself really bad or whatever, you're going to get firefighters that are going to be basics, but you're also going to get an ambulance that is going to be have paramedics on board.
Okay.
That's what you're going to get.
Gotcha.
Now, there are some paramedics that do spend time on the engine as well. If you're in Verona, you will get Fitch Rona, and you will get Verona Fire Department. Fitch Rona is paramedics.
Okay.
You get those, and there are those of us that are with the city of Verona that are EMTs.
And is that where you're at right now, city of Verona?
That's my fun job.
Okay.
That I work part-time for the city of Verona, but I am a career firefighter, full-time firefighter with DeForest Windsor.
DeForest Windsor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask a couple questions.
You bet.
And I'm going to ask some things that mm-hmm. I don't really want to ask you about. Okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, not sure when this podcast is going to get aired. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had, you know, a terrible tragedy happen the other day. Mm-hmm. And first responders are the mm-hmm. first ones that get to go and do that. And we luckily, and I'm talking about the school shooting in mm-hmm. Florida, because it'll be a few yeah. months and there might be another one by the time this happens and you won't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. First responders are the ones that get called out to that. Mm-hmm. You know, once the police are done, they got to go in and they got to.
Yep.
They got to see some bad stuff. Mm-hmm. We've never had anything like that before, but as a firefighter and a paramedic, you get called out to accident scenes.
Oh, yeah. I was out on Highway 18 Monday morning.
With that big accident out there?
Yeah, with the big accident.
A woman died.
Yes, yes. I was one of four guys that were the first engine on scene, yes.
How hard is it just to relax at night? I mean, do you have any problems at the end of the day?
There's a lot of us that do struggle with stuff like that, and I'll never say that my response is typical of everyone, because everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody deals with things differently. You have guys that have been doing this job for 30 years, and it's you do what you do. And there are guys that you know, they go on their first call. I remember the first time I did CPR. It's a thing. You know,
was it an adult? Was it a kid? What was it?
It was an elderly lady.
Okay.
She had gone down. But, you know, you do see some things. Thankfully, in my own experience, I've had some above average peers and some above average instructors that have armed me with some things. And a lot of times, in some instances, what you learn is that, number one, you got to take care of yourself. And number two, take heart in that the training and the education you learned are going to get you through, at least to get the job done, at least when you're addressing an emergency. Mm-hmm. I am very thankful that I've got a lot of hobbies. I love to hunt and fish. I love to, you know, work some of those stresses out in the gym. I like to laugh a lot.
It's helpful.
So you know, it's anyone, especially, you know, law enforcement, EMS, fire, ER nurses, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. You know, try and take care of yourself. Understand that you're not the only person. Understand that there are people to talk to. Understand that, you know, prime example with what we had to deal with on Monday. I wasn't the only person on scene doing work.
Yeah, you know? Several. Well, yeah. People
many,
out there. Many, 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 many. Many.
And just try to... In a couple ways, take things with a grain of salt. Be thankful that you had the opportunity to be there and help somebody. That's one of the most rewarding things. We do like job fair things. Mm-hmm. And DeForest, we have actually go into the classrooms. It's not a set up a booth in the hallway and try and flag somebody down. We go into the classrooms. And one of the most rewarding things as a firefighter and EMT, and just in general, first responder, is you get the opportunity to help somebody who could quite possibly be having the worst day of their life.
Sure.
And you can, at the very least, comfort them and you can try to help them. Or you can make completely turn their day around.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a matter of you know, making sure you're ready to get the job done. It's a great opportunity. You're helping people. And I think a lot of guys say, like, well, I want to be a firefighter or police officer or whatever because I want to help people. But, I mean, no, you really are. Remember that. That's a gift in itself.
Have you ever had to deal with children in an accident?
Oh, yeah. One of the first EMS calls I had was to my own house. When I was doing the stepdad thing, I was a volunteer, and I was down at the fire station, and my pager starts going off. You know, it's broad ed, fire, broad EMS, you got to call it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, that's my house. All of a sudden my phone rings. I'm like, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
You know, so, and I was fresh out of basic school, so I'm a mess. I'm like, oh, you know, but that's experience.
Yeah.
You know, and so me and the chief jump in the car, and we head down there, and my girlfriend at the time, her daughter passed out. She had a vasovagal response to getting her hair done. Crazy. It happens with some people.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes when, you know, your lady runs your fingers through your hair and you kind of get the shivers?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that leads into a vasovagal response. Your blood pressure bombs out and you fall down. Yeah.
I am very
I don't have that problem.
I'm very susceptible to fainting.
Yeah.
Very susceptible to fainting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go in there and what happened? And she's like, I was doing her hair and she just passed out.
Oh, scary for a mom to deal with that.
Yeah. And now her brother, used to have problems with seizures when he's little, but he grew out of it. So we're like, oh, does she have that problem
too? Man.
But, and then it happened a second time too. But this time my girlfriend was like, she just passed out again. We got a doctor's appointment for her next week.
Hit her with a bucket of water.
Yeah,
she'll wake
up. Exactly.
Yeah. She needed a nap anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that, you know, your first call is to your own home. Woo. You know, that hits home.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So how long have you been fighting fires now?
I've been a firefighter. Boy, the other day I was kind of thinking about that. I've been doing this for coming up on about 10 years.
How old are you?
I am 45.
How much longer are you going to be able to do this?
I'll do it as long as I'm physically possible.
Really? Is there an age limit for firefighters?
There really isn't. You know, each
Do you have to do like athletic testing to make sure that you can still carry a heavy fellow like me outside of a building?
Each department is different. For instance, I applied for Freeport Fire when I got right out of Fire Academy. And at that time, in Illinois, they have an age cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have prior full-time experience. And I had applied at that time and had just turned 35.
I just had a conversation about someone about this very thing today. Mm-hmm. How interesting.
And I applied, and I made it to the final 20.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, cool. This is easy being a firefighter. You know, whatever.
I got this.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, they sent me an email back saying you've been taken out of the process.
Sorry, Gramps.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. What's going on? Well, you know, you don't make the age cutoff. And I said, well, wait a minute here. In your verbiage, it says that you have to have full-time experience as a firefighter. I go, I was a full-time firefighter of Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And they're like, oh. And I go, it says nothing in there.
Yeah.
You know, because I get my little, lawyer stuff on there.
I actually am very qualified for this.
I watch many shows on TV. I'm a lawyer. You know, so, and the HR gal is like, well, let me get a hold of our lawyers. You know, whatever. And they get back to me like, we're sorry. You know,
no,
so,
we can do.
So, you know, like, whatever. You know, but yeah, there are certain departments that do have certain physical requirements. If you apply and you test and you make it farther along in the Madison process, they will subject you to what's called a CPAT. Okay. It's a certified physical agility test.
Okay.
Where you have to do things and you have to get it done in a certain amount of time. There are a lot of departments that will not accept your application until you have a certificate that says BJ has passed the CPAT that was given by West Dallas Fire Department, and it is recognized by the United States Chiefs Association, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a lot of departments out there that want to make sure they've got somebody that's physically capable to do the job initially.
Oh, so then after that, then you get...
There are some departments...
I don't want to throw anybody under the rug here, but I know some beefy fire fellas that have had them fire pants let out a few times,
if you know what I'm saying. Many conversations with my peers about physical fitness.
Yeah.
About,
hey, Frank, I'm not dragging your big fat ass out of the fire, all right?
Being physically ready. Yeah, being physically ready to do the job, being able. We also had Florida try to incorporate some type of test where it wasn't your ability, your physical ability, it was your BMI, your body mass index.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, oh, okay, and I looked it out. I am obese to be a firefighter in Florida.
You are?
I am
obese. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
You, okay, this is a podcast, mm-hmm. so you can't see what he looks mm-hmm. like. I'm guessing you have about 3% body fat. How the hell could you be considered obese according, by anybody's standards?
According to the numbers that Florida put out there, I was obese. I could not be a firefighter in Florida at that time. Now, this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that this came out. I'm like, I can't be a firefighter in Florida. I'm fat, you know, for lack of a better term. You know?
What the hell?
Yeah.
So, that's crazy. Yeah, I couldn't be a firefighter. That body mass thing. If I get too close to a fire, you just start smelling bacon. That's what I've got going on.
Even a guy like me knows the seductive power of bacon.
So, over under, about how many cats do you save out of trees per year?
That's silly. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, have you ever saved a cat out of a tree?
I have missed an opportunity to save a cat.
Oh, really?
Funny story. So I was a volunteer in Broadhead. It was a busy day. We just got done doing a brush fire. So we all come back to the station. We're putting stuff away. All of a sudden, there's a call for a structure fire in town.
Uh-oh.
So we're like, is this a joke? No, it's a real thing. I happen to be here. I'm going to be on the truck. It's, party. We're going to do this. You know. And so we get on board. And we go to this, it was an older farmhouse in town, really big, beautiful home and all that. And sure enough, there's smoke coming out. And one of the senior firefighters, who's a full-timer in Janesville, mm-hmm. he goes, go run in the back and get the can. Now, for those of you who don't know, the can is basically a water extinguisher.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
He goes, we're going in. And I'm like, okay. So I go with the can and come back, and we're going in. And he's ahead of me. And there's smoke from, if you've ever been in any of these homes, ceiling's pretty tall in these old farm homes. So there's smoke from the top to the bottom. He gets in and we're gonna do a left search. So we're crawling along and I'm behind him and I'm like, yeah, it's great. You know? And all of a sudden he goes, stop. I'm like, what? And it also here, meow. And he goes, fire department. Meow. Fire department. I'm like, I pull on his foot. I'm like, Mike, that's a cat. Shh. Fire department. Mike, it's a cat. All right, we need to go find the fire. I don't want to get too big for my britches.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a career firefighter, medic, and all that.
You're the time to tell him what to do.
And I'm like, guy, it's, you know, so whatever. Long story short, somebody else went in and saved the cat and got the picture. And that's great PR. If you get the opportunity to save a cat or a dog or something like that, by all means, because in today's day and age, pets are family members.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, I would, you know, I've got two mm-hmm. dogs, you know, that I love. Mm-hmm. You know, I would absolutely be devastated if something happened to them. But, you know, even more so, I would mm-hmm. be devastated if someone got injured mm-hmm. trying to save one of my dogs. Yeah. And, you know, I appreciate the fact mm-hmm. that, you know, literally running into the flames, you know, to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool mm-hmm. that there's, you know, cool people out there who, for whatever weird reason mm-hmm. going on inside your brain, you decide you want to do this. But, hey, thankfully, mm-hmm. because people like me, there'll just be a lot of fires. They're just like, yeah, it'll burn itself out. Yep.
Eventually.
So have you ever, so you're a physical guy and you like to do things. You ever thought about doing those firemen?
I have.
Have you done those before?
Yes, I have.
That is crazy. Yes. Like they put that ladder and they like, it's mm-hmm. a 3-story ladder yep. and then they run up that thing like their pants are on fire.
Yeah. Scott, which is a company that makes air packs, every year does the Scott Firefighter Combat Challenge.
Okay.
And ESPN covers it.
Yes, I have watched and yelled. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who I'm rooting for. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm yelling at the TV, mm-hmm. but it's exciting.
Yeah, and it travels every year. I am contemplating, I took last year off. I'm contemplating doing it again this year. But
what's your event? Is it like the Olympics or certain events?
Basically what it is, and it's out there on YouTube, go ahead and check it out. But basically what it is they have a set of stairs that they bring in and they erect this all up. And it's a lot like, remember Battle of the Network Stars? The kids may not remember that.
Yeah, okay?
But basically the object is to, with all your gear on and you're on air, okay, so you put the mask on and everything for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this pack, you got all this gear on, and you got the helmet, the gloves, everything, the boots, and you take this hose roll, which is basically about 50 feet of 1¾ inches, which weighs roughly about 40, 45 pounds.
Okay.
Throw it on your shoulders with all the gear, and you race to the top of the steps. When you get to the top of the steps, which is roughly six stories.
Woo!
So you're up there.
I climbed a six-story parking garage the other day.
Yeah.
And when I got to the top, yeah, I made a realization in my life that I'm going to start robbing people at the top of parking garages because you're too out of breath to fight anybody.
Right.
They'll just give up for oxygen.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get up there.
So you get up there, you take the pack, you throw it down in a box. And what you do then is you basically are at the top of this platform and you pull another hose roll, which is roughly 45 pounds.
Okay.
From down on the ground up to the top, you put it in the box. Then you go down the box. You have to hit every step on the way down, otherwise you disqualify.
Oh, you can't skip a step.
No, you can't.
I like to skip steps on the way up.
You can't. You can skip on the way up.
Oh, but you can't.
But not on the way down.
You can't grab the railings and holler
your
way down.
You can grab the railings, but you can't jump.
Yeah,
jump.
Like, that's what I do when I'm like going downstairs. Right. Like, I'll try to holler down them steps.
Right, because again, Scott is very involved in safety. And
You
don't want to be jumping steps. We want to be safe on the
fire. Haste makes waste.
Exactly.
All right.
So you get down to the bottom of the steps. And then you make your way forward on what's called a Kaiser sled. And basically what the Kaiser sled is, the big chunk of iron that you basically straddle over, and you have to hit it with a maul. A maul is firefighter slang, fancy word for a sledgehammer. And you drive it back, and I believe you have to drive it back about 3 feet.
Wow.
So when you're done there, then the buzzer goes off, and then you put the axe down. You have to, or the maul. You have to put the maul in his box.
Okay,
the square.
Put
otherwise,
your equipment away.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then you make your way, zigzagging through some pylons down. That's roughly, I can't remember the exact. I think we'll just say it's about 35 to 40 yards, maybe less than that. About 25, we'll say. You get down there, and then what you do is you pick up a hose. It's a charged hose. You throw the hose over your shoulder and you run forward, and what you have to do is go through basically some saloon doors.
Okay.
While you're pulling this hose over your shoulder, open the hose and hit the target.
Oh.
Then you hit the target, you put the hose down, you go around the target, and then you pick up a dummy. The dummy is roughly about 160, 180 pounds.
Okay.
You pick the dummy up, and they call this it's basically like a tractor pull. And you take this dummy, and you're going backwards, dragging the dummy with your gear on another, 25 to 30 yards.
Wow.
Yeah. It is without a doubt the most physically and psychologically taxing thing I have ever done.
But when you get back and you're around those other veterans, they got to be pretty impressed that you were able to go out and do this. I mean, you got to be looking like a rock star, don't you?
Well, I will say this. I was humbled. When you go down there, people get together on weekends with their kids? We got soccer this weekend.
Yeah.
They set their stuff up. There are people who travel around the world.
Oh,
in the weekend to do this. These guys are no joke.
Okay.
I mean, I showed up, I thought I was in pretty good shape. These guys.
But your crew, when you get back, your crew's got to be like, yeah, we got BJ. You know he's dragging fools around. Are they like, yeah, whatever, endurance boy?
Well, being in a firehouse, there's a lot of sarcasm.
They're guys.
And guys being guys.
And guys. And,
like, hey, at the fire department, everybody has nicknames. And my nickname is Bruce.
Okay.
That's my common name. Of course, you show up on the job. My name is BJ. It's not Bruce. Your name is Bruce, and you're gonna like it.
Oh, yes. I used to work with a guy, and he didn't like us making fun of his name, and his name was Terry.
Yeah.
But me and the guy I worked with, we thought it'd be fun to call him Turry. So all day, Turry, don't get so mad about it, Turry. All day long, and we're just riding. It's so much fun.
So, they like. Hey, we're going to go to Miller's today. You want a donut? No, I'm good. Seriously, donut? Come on, that sounds like Strange Brew. Jelly donut.
Jelly donut.
And every now and then I'll floor them, like, give me that, and I'll eat it. And they're like, he just ate a donut.
He's not supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't count your calories.
Yeah, exactly. So,
do you watch shows about – you can't see the eye roll. Yes, all right, we got a good one here. Do you ever watch shows that have, like, firefighters in there and start yelling at the TV, like, come on, look, there's no way. You open the door, the whole thing's going to go up. Are you that guy?
I am that guy. I've got some guys that I work with, and I love them all. And, like, they were on break one day, and I showed up, and I walk in, and they're watching Chicago Fire. And I'm like, I'm out. So I'm a Walking Dead fan.
Okay.
And there was the episode where they're all surrounded and they come across a fire truck. So all the zombies are walking around. If you follow Walking Dead, there's the scene where Eugene gets on top and they've got the big, people might recognize it as a water can, or is it a water gun? They yeah. start spraying water and knocking all the zombies over, knocking their heads off. And I'm like, that's wrong. Because the engine's not on, and the pump's not engaged. Where's the water coming from?
You know, not enough
storm out of the room. My ex-girlfriend, she was not particularly supportive of my choice to become a firefighter.
Okay.
And of course, Chicago Fire comes out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. And she's like, rolling her eyes or whatever. Yeah. And her kids are like, well, So we're sitting down, and I only made it through an episode and a half. And I'm like, you're not going to pick up that train with that little bitty airbag. You know? But of course, all the kids are like, this is really cool. And she's like, that one guy with the facial hair is so hot. I got to watch this. I'm like, can't watch this, you know.
So it turns out that all chicks don't like beefy firemen.
Apparently not. I don't. We're an acquired taste, I guess.
So true or false, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, the greatest movie about firefighters ever made. True. Okay, sold on that one. Okay, all right.
If you want to see, if you really want to sit down and watch a good firefighter movie, there was a movie out called Burn.
Yes,
Detroit Fire. Talking a little bit about what they have to deal with.
Okay.
That's what you want to watch.
So, but not Backdraft?
No.
Oh, okay.
Backdraft is fun. There's a lot of one-liners that everybody, you know, and if you want to talk about, you know, some of the things that have been on Netflix and all that, you know, Tommy Gavin and those characters. Of course, we can have laughs about that.
Yeah.
You know, but you talk to a lot of guys, there's only one good fire show, and what's the one from back in the day from the 70s?
If you say what I think you're going to say.
I'm having a brain fart right now. I apologize.
If you say what I think you're going to say, I'm going to lose my mind. Emergency?
Yes.
With Randolph Mantooth?
You betcha.
The greatest actor that TV has ever known, but they forgot about him since the 60s because he was just too good looking.
Exactly.
Do you know what Randolph Mantooth does now?
What does he? Well, I know he makes appearances at fire events, obviously.
That's what he does. He goes around and spreading fire and EMT safety.
Good for him.
One of the best shows around. If you want to see some quality programming, look up the show Emergency. I mean, and I've met several people that have said the same thing. Like, when it comes down to how stuff actually is done, Emergency, it will be the closest to that. And it's really neat to see, you know, like, you get to work with a lot of advanced equipment now. Yep. Back in the day, when they're putting an IV into somebody, it's a glass bottle. It's not an IV bag. It's a glass bottle that they've got set up.
And it's always a nice big vein. It's not always a little old lady who has itty bitty tiny spider veins. And,
I remember one of the neat. We'll finish up after this. One of the episodes I saw that I didn't really think about it, and it showed how good they did about awareness. Mm-hmm. And the whole episode was about the safety from them going on calls. One of them left. One of the other trucks left out on a call, and they were coming out, and a car. Boom! Yep. Blew right through a green light, which they had the right, but still, and smoked. And they had to send guys from the call back over to help their own guys. Yep. And the whole episode was about how dangerous it is just leaving the firehouse.
It is. It's a two-part equation. You know, we as emergency responders, we have to be cognizant of what's going on around us. And I've been on plenty of calls where so-and-so's been driving and they haven't been paying attention to what's going on. They got the jams going. They have a good time. They're worried about the day. And the music's up so loud. They don't realize, hey, if you look behind you, there's a really big fire truck and there's lights and stuff going.
I had that experience yesterday downtown. Mm-hmm. Car next to me.
Yep.
Had no idea that there was – they must have had the bass bumping because they did not hear the And I'm like, we got to move out of the way here. Well, again, BJ, thank you so much for sitting down and taking some time to talk with us. And thank you for doing what it is you do. We appreciate our first responders in the community. And it's good to know that if something happens to me, you're physically fit enough to get me out of a house. And I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
This has been Jackson's American Tales, Ordinary People with Extraordinary Life Stories. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Jackson's American Tales. Please tune in next week. We're going to have a very special guest, someone who is a phenomenal local musician and spends a lot of time working with folks that have Alzheimer's, even does benefit concerts. Such a great person. Karen Wheelock is going to be in studio. She's got an amazing story, and we're going to hear some good tunes from her. Oh, yeah. Rockin' music on this next coming episode of Jackson's American Tales. Please click like, drop a share, put
put a comment on iTunes or Google Play. Let the world know about it. If you enjoyed this episode or the other episodes, tell your friends about it. And like we always say, even if you didn't like it, tell your friends about it then too, because maybe they won't like it as well. Thank you again for listening to Jackson's American Tales.